Hello, FPL managers. Welcome to a new episode of the FPL Optimized podcast. This is episode number 90. So it's just 10 more to go until number 100. So that's pretty exciting for us. I am Bas, the casual manager, and my co-host is Sirtop, the data scientist. This is the podcast in which we combine analytics with the good old eye test. Data or grass, or data and grass? That's the question. It's crunch time now, as we just have 4 game weeks left, and what a game week it has been, with some huge scores, mainly for people who used a free hit, and I can happily say that I was one of those people. So we'll definitely do a quick game week review today, and we will then focus on the game week 35 to 38 window, with likely still many managers who have their wild card or bench boost, or also both, available. So the season certainly isn't over yet. Sirtop, let's start with a game week 34 review. How did it go for you?
And thanks for saying that the season is not over yet, because I certainly need it. Let me start by saying that I would like to congratulate you for passing me in head-to-head competition. 17 to 16 to your favor. And what a win for you. Like, Bas finished with 153 points. And I finished with 95 because, yeah, Haaland won't appear today. And then I don't have any bench coverage. I thought Palmer could be one. But anyway, 95 points for me. I'm currently at 5.4K, but it will go down after like auto substitutions. And Bas is at 264K. What a big jump. Like, what a big jump. You were like around a million, or let's say 700K a few game weeks ago. And then now you're, I don't know, maybe 100K is possible for you.
I hope so. I will still try. And I think, yeah, it just shows again that you also need a bit of luck in this game. I was joking on X yesterday. I said that I had a decent game week and a few people commented on it. Of course, that was meant as an understatement. Yeah, the free hit worked out really well. Yeah, score of 153 points and a game week rank currently below 20K. Maybe it will still change a little bit. And as I said, yeah, I think you need a bit of luck. Certainly in this case, it worked out. I took the Crystal Palace attacking trio. Mm-hmm. So that was a good decision. I had Eze as captain. That was also, you know, better than the popular options like Salah or Saka. I had the right Arsenal midfield duo with Havertz and Odegaard. And in the back, I had Gabriel. So yeah, you know, you always think then like, oh, if only I had White. But yeah, I'm already pretty happy with Havertz and Odegaard. Because, you know, I was also thinking at some point to just have Gabriel and Saliba. So then, yeah, that would have, wouldn't be too bad either, but it would have given me less points than now. And then in goal, you know, also there, you I was thinking, and I think many people were thinking during the week, like, oh, you know, I don't want to take Pickford. It's not really reliable, but then we took him anyway. And then Everton has 2 clean sheets and he has a few bonus points. And, you know, he was the best scoring goalkeeper of the week. So again, you need a bit of luck. The only thing that didn't work out, but I think that was for most people the case, was the Liverpool trio. Quite disappointing there. But overall, yeah, a really good game week. And why not? Still trying to shoot for the top 100K.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, you should be feeling pretty great after this game week. I don't know. Were you smiling a lot during the weekend? And then maybe your wife asked you, why are you smiling so much?
I was smiling a lot, especially on Saturday with the Crystal Palace game. And, you know, Mateta scoring, Olise scoring. So, yeah, it was just like, wow, you know, everything is working. So, that was really nice. I can't lie. So then you think, oh, this can be a nice game, right? Because I've definitely been also been at the other side of this game. And then you kind of ruin your weekend, or you don't like the game at all. But then in a week like this, then, yeah, it's nice. Definitely. Yeah.
And are you planning to buy a Crystal Palace jersey maybe?
Oh, I should. Why not?
Yeah, you should.
I should. Remember. But that's a good topic also to talk about later. Not the jersey, but just Crystal Palace as a team. And there are more teams like that, like Arsenal, right? pretty good form, but they don't have double game weeks. So for any like us who are on wildcard, you know, we're just looking, or we're focusing on the double game week teams, but we're kind of ignoring then informed teams like Crystal Palace and Arsenal, which I think can be a risk. But I'm sure we'll come back on that. And yeah, anything you still wanted to say, or you want to switch to the fixture ticker?
Yes, I want to switch the topic.
Okay, man. Well, I have to leave now. I will try to keep it. So that's nice. 16,
okay, you need to frame this.
Yeah, I will. I will print it. All right, let's look at the fixture ticker.
Yeah, certainly. So in the first place, we have Manchester City. They have three favorable fixtures. This game week, they're playing against Nottingham Forest at away. It's not marked as a favorable, that favorable. It's not making to the top 10 percentile, but their remaining 3 weeks of games, like Wolves, and then they have a double in 37. And they play against West Ham at home in 38. All of them look favorable. And then the Tottenham has a double this game week. They're at the second place. Offensively, it's especially amazing game week. They play against Arsenal and Chelsea, and their offense point average is around 6.9, pretty high. Wow. And then they have a double in game week 37 against Burnley and Manchester City, both at home. Mm-hmm. And point average for that game week is 8.4 for offense players. So yeah, Tottenham midfielders and forwards are kind of like the target in wildcard. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chelsea is at the third place. So what a crazy journey for Chelsea. Like they have been at the bottom and then they kept rising. Like even though they had a terrible game week, they have a double. And offensively, it looks like a favorable fixture. That's why we will see Jackson in lots of optimal teams today. And then they have a double in game week 37 against Nottingham Forest and Brighton, which is also another favorable game week. And then we have Arsenal at the fourth place. They are playing against Tottenham this week. But then they have a Bournemouth game in 36, defensively favorable. And then in game week 38, they are playing against Everton. That's also favorable defensively. Then we have Liverpool. They have dropped a bit. They don't have a double, obviously. And their only favorable fixture in this horizon is against Wolves in game week 38. But this game week, they are playing against West Ham at away. And then we have Newcastle. They double in 37 and playing against Sheffield United this week. So that's a good fixture. And then we have Manchester United following them. They also double in 37. And then we have Brighton. They also double in game week 37. And then we have Everton. So, like, as you see, most of the teams on top of Everton, they're either like doubling or they are already a good team so that their point averages are high. But then we have Everton here. They're playing against Brentford this week and then Luton Town in game week 36, Sheffield in 37, and then finally Arsenal in game week 38. So, except game week 38, the remaining fixtures are somewhat okay. And then we have Brentford at the 10th place. So, any comments on the fixtures?
Not too many surprises, I think, right? I think these are also the teams that everybody has in mind for their teams, whether you're wildcarding or not. You know, as you said, City, Tottenham, Chelsea, they all still have a double. Arsenal may be a little bit higher than expected because they don't have a double game week. But yeah, they are in form and they have a few good games left. I would have expected maybe Newcastle to be a bit higher on the chart because I think their fixtures look really good. Sheffield at home, Burnley away, and then also Brighton at home, which I think is an attractive fixture. So I think, a lot of people are looking at the Newcastle assets. And then, the same you could say for Man United, even though they're not really in form. They have one player who is in form, that's Bruno. So I think we probably will see him in some optimal teams. No surprises. This looks good. Okay, cool. Next chart, I think, is the game week odds for game week 35.
Yes, let's talk about the game week odds. So despite, you know, how our fixture ticker looks like, which is based on FPL projected points. The surprising thing here, like the first thing you notice in this graph, which is prepared by RobTFPL on Twitter, is the Newcastle-Sheffield United game. So Newcastle's goal expectation is around 2.95, which is insanely high. And then their clean sheet odds are at 42%. So, you know, this looks like one of the most favorable fixtures this game week. And then another team also has a high clean sheet expected probability. That's Manchester City against Nottingham Forest. It's also 42%. And their goal expectation is around 2.35. Higher than Manchester City, we have Manchester United play against Burnley. Their goal expectation is around 2.45. And finally, Liverpool goal expectation against West Ham is 2.4. So, and then their clean sheet odds are around 31%. Newcastle is going to be an interesting game to follow, and also, well, Manchester City too, obviously.
Yeah, fully agree. Newcastle at home against Sheffield. You know, we know that Newcastle can be really strong at home, especially with Isaac, Gordon, a lot of attacking options. So I was actually thinking about captaining a Newcastle player, which is maybe a bit strange considering that Chelsea and Tottenham have a double game week, but they have a bit tougher fixtures. Mm-hmm. I think most people, well, we'll talk about it later, but probably most people will go for Palmer. But I think Newcastle certainly is something we should consider. A good home game. The concern for me a little bit, and that's probably for a lot of people on wildcard, is that we will probably remove our Liverpool players, even though they have an attractive game now against West Ham. You know, West Ham is not in form at all. Liverpool is neither, I would say, but you know, they might recover. The West Ham game could be a good game for them to recover. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I just saw
your video.
Was it my video? Okay, well, we're back. That's maybe a bit of a concern, but you know, we need to play some bets, right? So but let's see. We'll talk about that later.
Which you do pretty good. So I need to follow where you are putting your bets on.
well, you know, just been lucky once, so don't count that.
Maybe.
Okay, this helps. So I think the next thing to look at is probably the optimal teams already, right?
Yeah, so obviously wildcard 35 is what almost everyone is doing. So we will have an extensive discussion about it. And yeah, just to kick it off, maybe you want to share your draft?
Yeah, I can. Well, first of all, I think you said everyone is wildcarding. I think there are a lot of people who already wildcarded, right? So I don't know if we have numbers. Sure. Don't know if we have numbers about it, but it's a bit difficult at the moment because there are a lot of injuries. So from that perspective, I think it's pretty good that we still have the wild card. And different options I looked at. As I said, I think the obvious thing to consider is, of course, the teams with double game weeks, especially Tottenham and Chelsea. Mm-hmm. The difficulty is that, Tottenham isn't really in great form lately. So it's a bit difficult to bet on them. But, they've been having a pretty good season. So I think you can see the obvious names here with Pedro Porro and Son. And then the third option is, I went for Vicario, even though I'm not too happy with it. You know, the Spurs defense hasn't been reliable at all. They don't keep many clean sheets. But just considering that you have so many other options in midfield, that you don't really go for a Spurs player there. So then, you know, the obvious place which is still left is the goalkeeper. And considering that they have two double game weeks, right, now in 35, but then also in 37, that's why he's there. My other goalkeeper is Ederson. That's more also because it's difficult to bet on City defenders. Mm-hmm. I think tonight, I just saw before we started potting, Ruben Diaz is on the bench. So that's something, again, that normally you wouldn't expect. So Ederson sounds like a safe bet. Unless, of course, City win the title earlier than expected, because then there might be some rotation. But yeah, let's assume that it will not happen before at least game week 37. And then for my Chelsea players, yeah, so I went for Palmer. Mm-hmm. I went for Gusto, even though he might be injured. So that could also be Cucurella, maybe. I need to still consider. And then I went for Jackson in front, even though, yeah, also on that one, it's not like he has been scoring many goals, but it's more like, yeah, you need to pick another Chelsea player next to Palmer. So who do you pick? You know, you pick Jackson and you just hope that he will convert a bit better than what he has done for the rest of the season. And then for the rest, yeah, filling up the spots, definitely Newcastle, as I said. So I think this is probably the trio that most teams will have. Shar in the back, Gordon, and then Isaac up front. I have Foden and Haaland from City. Even though with the Haaland injury, I think it's something to still keep an eye on. Maybe, you know, alternative options, Alvarez. I think what also could be interesting, KDB in midfield. So that's still something I need to think about. Then I took Bruno, just again, because he's in form and United have some good games, including a double game week, even though it's a tough double game week. But, you know, with Bruno, he can always get a penalty or you never know. Mm-hmm. And then two single game week players, one Arsenal defender, just because their defense is so reliable and we don't have too many other good options. So I took Gabriel, but you know that can also be White or it could also be Saliba. I need to look at the budget a bit though. So for me, Gabriel makes sense. And then for Brandweight, basically what I did in game week 37, because I will bench boost, I was just looking at the best defensive options. I didn't go for a double game week one because I couldn't find a good one, even though you could maybe go for Maguire with United. But as I said, United has some tough home fixtures in the double. But as we saw yesterday, he can always score a goal. So that's maybe something to bet on, Maguire. I went for Brandweight because Everton, let me just check again. Yeah, they have a quite relatively easy home game against Sheffield. Mm-hmm. So I'm just counting on a good performance from Everton and Brandweight will be part of my bench boost. So that's the current plan.
Okay.
Any comments? Anything that is surprising? Don't think so, right?
No, that looks great. I mean, so yeah, maybe the part I'm a little bit surprised is the goalkeepers. Well, you will see that they appear in optimal teams, but you're spending significant sum on both of them. Well, they have.
But nice the thing features. Is also that without going without Salah in the team, you suddenly have some budget left. Yeah, even though in this case here, I just have 0.4 left, so I don't have too much left. But you're right. It is a bit expensive there.
Yeah. No, that's perfectly fine, by the way. I'm not discouraging.
It's a lot of money, especially for Vicario, where you're still not sure if he will get many points for you. So I think that's still something to consider. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, you're kind of betting on the double game weeks, even though a single game week keeper might outscore him. So I think it's still something to take a look at.
Yeah. But obviously he has more chances of getting at least a clean sheet compared to a single game week goalkeeper. Yeah. And by the way, I think I saw Gusto is training separately from the squad. I think I saw it this morning. So are you kind of then?
Yeah, I just saw a tweet earlier about an hour ago. It said that he will be out for game week 35, but he will be back for game week 36. So
you will keep him probably? Bench him maybe?
Yeah, probably. Or I go for Cucurella, but I'm not really a fan of Cucurella. Mm-hmm. So I need to give it some more thought.
Yeah. But I mean, besides Brandweight, I mean the other picks, both Ederson, Vicario, Porro, Shar, Gabriel, Son, Palmer, Gordon, Fernandez, Isaac, Jackson, they appear in most of the optimal wildcard teams, even if you are playing analytically. Haaland is a question, obviously, because you can start without him and then maybe get him along the way. And Foden is icy. Some people are just forcing him in to their team. And then, yeah. Well, it probably it depends on, you know, who are you dropping. I mean, you don't have Salah, so you have lots of room to make your team better. So, yeah, this looks like a great team to me. I mean, yeah, I hope you do worse than I do, but yeah, it looks like a good team.
Yeah, I think, you know, most people wildcarding, probably the teams will look pretty similar. I think most teams I've seen on Twitter so far, that they look quite similar. So, you know, just the logic I went through, I think it's a logic that a lot of people will have. And as you said, even if you play analytically, you will find most of the same players. But yeah, I was just thinking about Haaland, you know, there are two things. One, he's injured, so we will never be too sure about his real situation, I think. You know, Pep is never really transparent about that, so we'll have to make a bet.
Yes.
Plus, the other thing is that he also hasn't really been in form, right? I mean, in last games, it's not that he looked great. So there could be an argument to say you go without Haaland if you maybe want to be a bit different.
Mm-hmm.
But then, yeah, who do you go for? Maybe Højlund, or maybe, yeah, as I said, maybe you just bet on the informed teams with keeping Mateta. So there are a few things to consider, but I think you're also, like in my case, you also keep the ownership in mind a bit, right? You also want to you want to have Haaland if he does well, right? You don't want to be the smart ass who try to do something different and then Haaland scores a hat trick and you don't have him. So,
well, I don't know. You did free hit 34, which was quite different, and then you got rewarded. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I will follow your lead on this. Oh, okay. If you get Haaland, I should get Haaland.
Okay. All right. Well, I won't tell you.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Yeah. That was my team. Let's switch to what the data is telling us.
Okay, so I generated a few things. I will also get your opinions on those. First of all, let me start with my own team. And I used FBI reviews model, and then I just checked, you know, how much, you know, what's the optimal wildcard team I can get right now, and what's the EV. Yeah. Again, I'm using the linear solver here. And then as goalkeepers, I have Petrovic and Ederson. So instead of Vicario, I have Petrovic, who has a double this game week. And then I also use him for the bench boost in the game week 37. And as defense, Solver gives Burn, Char, Pedro Porro. Well, Newcastle has a nice fixture this game week. We talked about their clean sheet probability. And also, like, for the remaining of the Horizon 2, I mean, they are mostly in the team except game week 38. And then in midfield, I have Salah, Foden, Palmer, Madison, and Son. Mm-hmm. And in forward, I have Nico Jackson and Darwin. Although this is like a raw optimal. Oh, and also on my bench, I have Joao Pedro. That's, you know, you were asking about the, you know, who you can get for the forward. So Joao Pedro appears a lot. And then I also have Gabriel and Trippier. But, well, it depends, you know, how long he will be out.
Yeah.
And then Solver wants to schedule three transfers. So it sells Salah for Garnacho in game week 37 to get another doubling player. And then sells Darwin for Haaland. So that in game week 37, my only player who's not doubling is Gabriel, if this plan goes forward. And then the Solver sells Trippier for Alexander-Arnold for the game week 38. And then that's, you know, how the season ends. Again, so this is a raw optimal team. I will probably tinker on some of these choices, and then we will see. I will share a few different teams here too from other models.
Yeah, it's interesting that this model is putting a lot of faith basically in the Newcastle defense, right? Because if we look at game week 37, you have three defenders: Burn, Char, and Trippier. Whereas I think a lot of other people will go for Gordon and Isaac. That's a bit different here in this solver. Yeah.
Yeah, we will see in a second, but yeah, other models, you kind of see Isaac and Gordon, you're right.
Okay.
So, and let me talk about other data sources. I mean, and also here, like I was talking about my own team, but let's talk about a generic wildcard 35 team. Well, for a disclaimer, I also assume this team is using bench boost in 37, which is not the case for everyone. Obviously, some people use their bench boost, but that's how I ran the analysis. And here I'm using a buy value of 103, which is slightly different than my team, but you will see the similarities. And the first thing I ran was using FBI reviews model and see what I get as the optimal. So the team is very similar, but just to go over it, as goalkeepers, we have Ederson and Petrovic. As defenders, we have Gabriel, Saliba, Burn, Shar, Pedro, Porro. In midfield, we have Salah, Foden, Palmer, Madison, Son. And as forward, we have Joe Pedro, Nico Jackson, and Darwin. And so this team is different from other teams I will talk about, but mainly because it doesn't have Isaac, and it doesn't have Bruno Fernandes, and it has Darwin instead. Hmm. And if you check Mikel Tokvam's model, so the goalkeeper duo is actually what you have. It's Ederson and Vicario. And then in defense, it has Gabriel, Gusto, Doughty, Burn, Pedro Porro. In midfield, it has Foden, Palmer, Bruno Fernandes, Gordon, Son. And in forward, it had Jackson, Haaland, and Isaac. Yeah, I think this is somewhat similar to your teams because it doesn't have Salah. It also doesn't have Madison that other Solves have, and it doesn't have Petrovic and Shar, but has instead Haaland, Gordon, Vicario, and Gusto. But yeah, I think Mikel's model updated before the Gusto news, so this might change, just as a disclaimer again. And then if you mix FBI Review and Mikel Tokvam's model 50-50, you get this. You get Ederson and Petrovic in the goal. And then as defenders, you get Gabriel, Ruben Diaz, even though he's benched today, Burn, Shar, Pedro Porro. In midfield, it has Salah, Palmer, Fernandes, Madison, Son. And then in forward, it has Joe Pedro, Nico Jackson, and Isaac. So, yeah, this is essentially a really nice mix because it doesn't have Darwin like the first one, and then it doesn't have Haaland like the second one, but yeah, it kind of like combines, you know, like removes the edges, I should say. And then the last model I tried here is the ensemble of like almost all the models I have: FBI Review, Mikel Tokvam, Fantasy Football Hub, Scott, and Fantasy Football Fix. If you mix all of those, you get Ederson, Petrovic in the goal, Gabriel, Ake, Burn, Shar, Pedro Porro in defense, Salah, Palmer, Fernandes, Madison, Son in midfield, and then Jackson, Isaac, and Wood in forward. So it has Wood and Ake, different from the others. And just to summarize very quickly, so there are a few players who appear in every kind of a combination, and they are Ederson, Gabriel, Burn, Pedro Porro, Palmer, Son, and Nico Jackson. So they appear in like every combination here. And then, as I mentioned, there are some minor differences between these teams.
Yeah.
Any comments?
That's interesting. Yeah, just the players that you just mentioned that appear in all the teams. I think I have all of them except for Burn, but then I have Shar instead. For the rest, no, I think, all the obvious names. Joe Pedro is not really on my list because Brighton, they're just not really a team to bet on at the moment, I would say. And also Joe Pedro, he didn't do too much lately, even though at the beginning of the season he was pretty good and I had him in my team as well. But for the moment, I don't really have any evidence for me to say, I need to go for him or I need to rely on him. And that's a bit the same with Madison, right? Had a really good first half of the season, but now lately, after he's back from injury, he didn't do too much either. It doesn't mean that he can come back into form. You know, it can just be one game with a goal and an assist and he's back. But again, I just don't have that evidence that he is about to do that. The name that we didn't mention yet is Richarlison. He's also not showing here. That's probably because he has been injured and it's still not clear if he will be back. But if we do get news that Richarlison is back, then that could be, to me, an interesting option. The the Son-Richarlison combo has worked quite well. So that could be still something to see if anything is mentioned during the press conference.
Yeah, I think some people are kind of like considering to like start with Maddison and then maybe switch to Richarlison as he comes back. But yeah, we will talk about it.
Okay. Cool. Great information.
Thank you. And then next thing I tried was, okay, let's suppose that we are going to use FBR Review and Mikael Togbaum's 50-50 mix as our model, you know. And if you are wildcarding in game week 35, what different things you can do? And so I approach this from a point of view where you might be leading your mini league or you might be ahead of others, so that you might want to play a little bit safely or you might want to take a little bit more risk. So the default team we actually went over, if you want to reduce the variance, so here the variance is like your team will get points more robustly, so you won't see extremes that much. If you try to reduce it by around 20%, so instead of the double Newcastle defense, you get double Arsenal defense, you get Gabriel and Saliba. It still has Diaz, and it still has Pedro Porro, and Burn stays, so that it drops Char. In midfield, though, it drops Salah, and then gets Gordon instead, because I think his ownership is increasing also. Like, I used the current trends to kind of like estimate his ownership. That's how I use the variance model. And then the forwards are the same. It's Joe Pedro, Nico Jackson, and Isaac. So these two changes, just dropping Char and Salah for Gordon and Saliba, reduces the kind of the risk you are taking on wildcard 35. And then lineup expected value reduces around, I think, 2.5-ish, 2.7, I think. So it's not that significant, but yeah, maybe something to consider. And if you want to take more risk, that's a little bit complicated, because obviously it depends on what people are planning, which players, whose ownership will be high, which is hard to tell from this point. And when we do it, though, the model drops Bruno Fernandes, and then it has Maddison and Son. So it has Salah, Palmer, Gordon, Maddison and Son in midfield. And as a forward, it drops Isaac and puts Darwin back. So this is for like, okay, I want to try something different. I need to have some different players. And if you want to increase the variance, as we talked about this already in previous episodes, the best thing is to put the captaincy armband on a player who's not the most popular choice of the game week. But yeah, besides that, I mean, these are the minor changes the model is making. Mm-hmm. Any comments on these?
Not too many. I think, and the last one where it's interesting that you say you increase a bit the risk. And the way by doing that is basically getting two Liverpool players, which is, which is interesting, right? Because that's normally, it should be the safe team to go for. But yeah, as we said, they don't look too great at the moment. Maybe also, you know, the fixtures, especially because they don't have a double game week. I think that's why most people consider selling players like Salah. But yeah, they do have a good fixture now, as I said, West Ham away, and then also especially game week 38, Wolves at home, you know, the final game for Klopp. It could be a big game for Liverpool at home, and many people will not have Liverpool players, so that could be something to keep in mind for 38.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. I think in most cases, I think model sells at least one of them for a doubling player in game week 37. But yeah, you might want to, you know, keep them maybe towards game week 38.
Yeah. Just with Darwin, though, right? We've seen now 34 weeks of Darwin, and yeah. Again, for me, it doesn't give me much confidence to say, well, let's keep him for the final four game weeks. Again, you never know. Attacking team, you know, he could always score a few goals, but so far, he hasn't looked really convincing.
Yeah.
So
I'm not going to comment on the Darwin thing. It's a very hot topic right now, and I don't want to get into lots of trouble. But yeah, we were talking with Trout, James Palmer, and he was inside some of these arguments. Like, he was kind of like defending Darwin, and then some people are not trusting Darwin that much, and then thinks Liverpool should sell him. But yeah, anyway, so I mean, the point here is that the model wants to have Darwin if you want to increase variance, because not too many people will have him.
Yeah.
And also Salah, lots of people are dropping Salah. So it might be a good bet from that perspective. Right. But yeah, obviously that's there are different ways to increase the variance.
I agree. That's true.
And next, I want to share this. So this is the robust solve. And I didn't promote this much in the past. Maybe I might have mentioned it briefly. But when we are solving the wildcard problem with a linear solver, one of the biggest problems is that you are kind of assuming everything will go according to the plan. You will keep your players. They won't get injured or rotated. And you are scheduling transfers, which is a little bit risky, because if one of your players gets rotated or injured, then you will be forced to make a transfer. So that's problematic because of two reasons. So first of all, you won't be able to do the scheduled transfer you have. Like, for example, you won't be able to buy Haaland back, let's say. And the second thing is, you might not have a good replacement for the players you have in your team. It could be because of the price point, or maybe your in the bank amount won't be enough, or maybe there is no good alternative to the player in that position. So, and then the robust solve actually solves different scenarios, but it forces game week 35 decision to be the same.
Okay.
So it's a different approach. It takes much longer to solve, and it's only worth during wildcard. Obviously, in a regular game week, it's not that important. But yeah. So if you do it, there are two main changes to the default optimal team. So it drops Salah and gets Gordon instead, and it drops Isaac and gets Haaland instead. I think the logic here is basically that Haaland is important. He's the optimal captain in at least two game weeks, and his EV is very high for game week 37 and 38. So Solver doesn't want to miss him just because you are scheduling some transfers right now. So there are two ways of doing it. Either you need to tell Solver that you don't want to schedule transfers and then see what the optimal looks like, or you run this kind of like a robust model.
Okay.
And Gordon is obviously you need to find some money to bring the Haaland back, so it drops Salah for Gordon, which is a good alternative. Yeah. And if you do it, then you will be able to see who are the alternatives if these players get rotated or injured. So let's go over this list very quickly. So if you lose Petrovic, it goes to Vicario. But there are some things we need to mention. Some of these replacements require some in the bank amount, and I will mention those players, but it kind of assumes that you have enough in the bank.
Yeah.
So it actually lays out all these plans separately.
Okay.
And then if Ederson is out, you can go to Onana. If Burn or Shar is out, you can get Trippier, assuming that he will be back soon. If Pedro Porro is out, you can go to Romero, or you can get Saliba. And then Saliba is a little bit expensive. And then if Diaz is out, you can go to Trippier or Romero. If Gabriel is out, Saliba is the replacement. If Palmer is out, then Saka. Again, Saka is a little bit more expensive. If Bruno Fernandes is out, you can go either KDB, if you have the money, or you can go to Garnacho. Gordon's replacement is also Garnacho. And for Madison, it is either Luis Diaz or Richarlison.
Okay.
If Son is out, it's either Saka or Gross. If Joao Pedro is out, it is Hojlund.
Okay.
And Hojlund is more expensive. If Nico Jackson is out, Alvarez is the replacement. And if Haaland is out, it's Morris. Well, obviously, it could be also Alvarez, depending on which players you have in your team.
Huh. Yeah.
That's it. Wow. That's a robust soul.
Any so it's on this? Comparing Haaland to Morris. That's interesting.
I think in that scenario,
Haaland won't be happy with this. If he hears this, he'll be upset, I think, but okay.
Who?
Haaland.
Oh. I think in that scenario, I think if I ran a fifth scenario, but in that case, I think it drops, well, Haaland and Fernandez gets injured in the same scenario. So it drops both of them and it gets Morris and De Bruyne. So, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Replaces the City player.
Shifting the budget to midfield. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get exactly. it. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Interesting.
Yeah. Let me see if I have anything else here. Oh. So if you have, do you have any more comments on this or?
No. It's interesting. Yeah. And it's again, some alternative names to consider again, right? Like, yeah, Trippier, if he's back fit, definitely an option. You need to have the budget for it, but we know that, you know, yeah, he can be really strong with assist potential, of course. I think Garnacho is an interesting option. I think, yeah, and in the last game, he had an assist again. KDB, we talked about, definitely interesting. Richarlison, if he's fit. Højlund, yeah. I mentioned before. So, yeah, quite some names that you could consider. Maybe not the obvious number one candidates, but still attractive options if you want to be a bit different.
Some scenarios. So we have a wildcard 35 chats in the Discord server, and I was trying to follow the discussions and, you know, what people are mainly talking about, you know, compared to the raw optimal, because you get the raw optimal like easily, you can run the solver, but, you know, what are other considerations? And so these are some of the scenarios people are talking about. So people are thinking about dropping Joe Pedro or Isaac. I should mention that most people are thinking that they will get both in an Analytics server, but in case you are looking for an alternative, the problem is, so there is not a clear alternative to these players, at least from an Analytics perspective, because you are losing at least two expected value by replacing either one of them. So that's why I can see that people, lots of analytics people, will go with both of them.
Okay.
And another scenario people are thinking is locking Gordon to their team, because as I mentioned, so Gordon doesn't appear in the raw optimal team, but you get Salah. So you can replace Salah with Gordon and see what happens. I think if I force Gordon, the model does something strange. It doesn't drop Salah, it drops Fernandez. But it stays very close to optimal, because you only lose 0.5 expected value, and for game week period it is very close. Yeah. So we call it a close suboptimal. So you're not actually, it might be a good idea even. And another thing is locking Haaland, because again, in the raw optimal team we didn't have Haaland, and Haaland was coming in a later game week. This is slightly suboptimal. You lose some expected value around 1.1, not a significant amount, but something to consider perhaps. Mm-hmm. And how about starting with Brennan Johnson and then switch to Richarlison? Because some people are a little bit skeptical about Madison. So this scenario makes you lose around 3 expected value, and it is around 3.1 objective value loss. And the reason is because in Bench Boost 37, Solver really wants to have these three Tottenham players. It is Madison, Son, and Pedro Porro.
Okay.
Richarlison's minutes and also the uncertainty around him might be affecting these numbers. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with going with him, but yeah, you need to be, if you want to start with, you know, Johnson and then switch to Richarlison, yeah, that's what the model is giving right now. Newcastle defenders, because, you know, Trippier is like out at least this game week, I guess. And then if you just tell Solver not to get any Newcastle defenders, like none of the defenders, then you lose around 3.3 EV. So you kind of want, you might want to have a Newcastle defender, at least one. But if you do it, Solward goes to double Arsenal defenders. It gets Saliba, and for the second position, it gets Dalot. So it might be, again, an interesting idea if you want to bet on the Manchester United defense. And then if you ban both Newcastle and Arsenal defenders, you get double Tottenham defenders. On top of Pedro Porro, you also get VDV, and then it also brings you Alexander-Arnold and Mykolenko. Okay. See your Everton the players appearing here. If you drop Ederson, because, you know, premium goalkeeper discussion always goes on. Well, Ederson looks popular right now, but if you force him out, you get 2.3 expected value loss, and it brings Verbruggen, and also Petrovic stays as a second goalkeeper. And if you force Vicario in, it actually drops Petrovic from the optimal team for a loss of 2.0. It drops, though, like, it makes more changes, though, which is funny. Because just to force Vicario in, I think it might be related to the team value I have. It drops Petrovic, Char, Isaac, Diaz, and then brings in Vicario, Chilwell, Trippier, and Darwin, which is, I don't know, like a big change for just a single player, but that's what the solver gives.
Yeah, just one comment on the goalkeeper. You mentioned Verbrugge, and that's an interesting one because I think people said that he has now the spot for the remaining games at Brighton. But tonight, actually, Steele is in the goal. So They changed their mind again. So I think, yeah, that's a reason probably to avoid Verbrugge. You just can't be sure who's starting there. Yeah.
Thanks for pointing that. These are all the stuff I have related to Wildcard 35.
Wow. Very rich content and a lot of things to consider. Thanks for preparing it. I think it took you a bit of time, right?
Yeah.
Appreciate it. All right. Then if you don't have anything else, I think we can finish with a mini league update.
We can also talk about the captaincy.
Oh, yeah, of course. Let's do that. Sorry, forgot about the normal order. Let's do captaincy, definitely.
Yeah, that's okay. For captaincy, we usually give it only a single game week, but I wanted to share, you know, remaining four game weeks. It might be related to Wildcard 35, obviously. Palmer is ahead in the ensemble model with 9.4 expected value average, and Son comes second with 8.8, and then we have Jackson 8.7, Madison 6.9, and then we have finally Salah at 6.9. Although there's a split on whether Palmer is the best captain this game week or Son, Drafthound, Scout, FPL team, and Mikael Tokvam has Palmer ahead as the first option. And then Fantasy Football Fix, Hub, and also FBI Review has Son ahead of Palmer. But yeah, I mean, some of these values are pretty close. So there's a split. So either Son or Palmer. Sorry. Fantasy Football Scott actually has Jackson as the optimal captain. Sorry.
Yeah. Wow. Was Palmer. That's interesting.
Yeah. Okay. And in game week 36. Oh, by the way, who are you going to captain, or maybe you won't tell me?
I'm not sure yet. I mean, I would say Palmer, because he's just in such a good form, and I think Villa away, not easy, but you know, it is Palmer. He can score in any game, and Tottenham, as we said before, Tottenham defense is not so reliable, so I think against Tottenham, we can expect Palmer to score. And for Son, you know, I would say actually the opposite. They play against Arsenal. Arsenal has a very reliable defense. And then they play against Chelsea. Well, Chelsea hasn't been too reliable either. No, yeah, it's a difficult one. It could go either way. But also, I think based on recent form, I would go for Palmer. Even though, of course, we had his... he was sick this week. I think he was back in training now. At least I think there was a rumor, or maybe it was confirmed. But again, something to pay attention to in the press conferences. Hopefully, we'll get a confirmation that Palmer is back, because then I think I will just go for him. But as I mentioned before, I really like the Newcastle game at home to Sheffield. It's just a single game, but it's a very attractive game. So Isaac or also Gordon, from my point of view, would also be a good captaincy options. Especially yeah. Gordon at home, he has a really good track record. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for
and you? Comments. You on will it. Follow the model, I think, Palmer.
Not so sure. Yeah. Well, I will follow the model, that's for sure. But I'm not sure until deadline if this this will stay in this way.
Okay.
I mean, I usually follow FBI Reviews recommendation, but Son and Palmer has only 0.2% difference between them, so it's almost the same. So I will check towards the deadline if we hear anything about either of them. So game week 36, the optimal captain is Salah against Tottenham with 7.0 EV. And then Haaland comes second with 6.7. But yeah, it might be also related to his availability because he plays against Wolves, so arguably that's a better fixture. And then we have Palmer at 6.5 in the third spot. And then we have Saka, 6.0. And then finally De Bruyne at 5.8. Draft Hound and Fantasy Football Fix has Haaland as the best choice. And then Hub Scout FBI Review has Salah ahead. FBI team has Son in the first place. And then Mikael Tokvam has Palmer for Game Week 36. Again, there's a different. There are different opinions from the models, but yeah, it seems like Salah is a little bit ahead if you get the average of all the models.
Okay,
but yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, again,
if you had like both Salah and Haaland that game week, would you captain?
No, I would go for Haaland also just because I mean we have seen Salah in recent weeks, right? He just doesn't look in good form. Even though, yeah, he can still get a penalty, of course. But the same can be said for Haaland. So yeah, I would just the fixture looks better, and I would also just bet on Haaland. Also going still for the title for top goal scorer. You know, he has some competition there. So hopefully we'll get back into top form and we'll start scoring some goals again. So in this case, definitely I would go for Haaland. Yeah.
Okay. And let me also quickly cover game week 37 and 38. In game week 37, Haaland is the optimal captain, you know, by far. His point average is 12.6 in the models, and the closest player is Palmer with 10.6. Well, both of them have doubles. Son comes third with 10.3, slightly behind Palmer. And then we have De Bruyne at 9.8. And then finally Isaac at 9.7. All models except FBI Review has Haaland ahead. And then only FBI Review has Son ahead of Haaland. But yeah, it might be related to his minutes. And then in game week 38, we have Haaland at 7.7. And then Salah comes 7.5. Even though like both of them are good fixtures, like City playing against West Ham or Liverpool playing against Wolves, both at home. And then Palmer is third, 6.2, and then Saka 5.9, and then finally De Bruyne at 5.8 for game week 38. Most models has Haaland as the top option. Draft Hound, Fix, Hub, and Mikael Tokvam has Haaland ahead, and then Scout, FBI Review, and FBL team has Salah ahead of Haaland. So again, it's very close, but so as you see, for game week 37, you certainly need Haaland for analytics players. So even if you're not having Haaland in game week 35, you will need to transfer him in game week 37 as a scheduled transfer.
Yeah.
And he's also a pretty good captaincy option for game week 38. Especially considering that most people will drop their Liverpool players because they are not doubling in game week 37. So then you will be able to cover both game weeks with a good captain option. And then in game week 35 and 36, well, it depends on who's available in your team. But yeah.
That's okay, great. Great data. Yeah. Only 4 game weeks left, but still a lot of things to consider. It's definitely not over yet.
Tinkering never stops, right?
Indeed. All right, but thanks again, Sertab. Lots of great data we looked at and we can consider. Appreciate it. All right, so let's finish with a look at our mini league. And yeah, the game week isn't over yet. As we are recording on Thursday night, it's still Brighton against Man City. I'm just looking at the live score. After 16 minutes, it's still 0-0. So yeah, something could still change. But looking at it now, our number one is still the same, Sandeep Jaswal. He's having a really good season, but in this game week, he didn't have his free hit. So we can see that a bit from his score, 79 points. So that's a bit struggling for him this game week. But he will still get 7 points coming from the bench, I saw. But still, not great for him. Makes him now number 5 OR in the game. So yeah, it will be interesting for him, I think, to see if he can still fight for the number one spot. And of course, we wish him a lot of luck with that. Number 2 is a new name. I don't think we've seen that name before in our top 3. It's Jack Bones, a score of 125 points. He had his free hit this week. That gave him a green arrow. So he's now number 2 in our mini league. And he's also number 15 OR. So
I should mention, yeah. Jack Bones was a guest in our podcast in the Jack Squared episode.
Oh, okay. All right. Good to know. Sorry. Should have
he's
known
not
that.
A stranger. Yeah.
No, he's definitely not a stranger in that case. I just, not a name that I recognize in the top 3 before, because then I think I would have known. But well done, Jack. And then number 3 is a name we've seen before, that I'm sure of. It's Heerpal Sahota, or Sahota, I should say. Sorry for that. A very consistent season. He was in the top 3 before, then he dropped out, but now he's back. He was also on a free hit with 132 points. So that's number 3 in our mini league and number 17 in the world.
Yeah.
And that's a summary of the top 3 for our mini league.
Okay. And I want to mention something.
Okay.
Sure. This week. So the current number 1 in the world, Jonas, is actually a Discord member, so he hangs out in the analytics server. And thing is, he was using his free hit, and I just asked him if he needs any help. And then we had a video call with him before the deadline.
Oh, wow.
And then I ran my variance model for his team and then recommended him to captain Odegaard. At least, get Odegaard and captain him. He said, no, I can't bring myself to captain him, but, I will captain Salah, but I will get Odegaard. Oh. He already had a good team, by the way. But yeah. So when Odegaard was scoring goals and getting assists, I was always texting him like, did you see that he got a point and then he got another one? And then he had such a good game week. Now there's a big difference between him and the number 2 spot. And he got the number 1. He's not part of our mini league, I just realized. But yeah, I will probably force him to, join our
mini league. Yeah. He can still win it. You should convince him, because I think we will still try to get some FPL optimized swag for the winners. I think we still need to work on that, but maybe that can convince him to join the mini league. But great story, and well done for helping him. I think Sandeep will not be so happy with you, though. You didn't help him.
Sandeep also hangs out in our analytics Discord, but without the free hit, it's a little bit difficult. Story, I should say. With a single transfer or two. It's not always
that's
possible.
True. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that was it for today then, right?
Your jersey. You need to talk about your jersey.
Ah, my jersey. I think I wore it before, but I was just thinking which team which one makes sense to wear. And with the Spurs double game weeks, well, actually, I should have worn a Crystal Palace shirt. You said it earlier, but I don't have it. So that's why it's Spurs, double game week coming up, and we're looking at the options with Son and some of the others, as we just discussed. And again, this was a shirt that I received from Koen Visser. It's the Spurs home shirt from the 2010-2011 season. So yeah, there we go. So, and I saw you wearing the Liverpool shirt. So,
yeah,
that's good. Even though they're struggling, you're very loyal.
That's why
Man, well done.
That's why I wanted to wear. I was just gonna wear something, you know, regular, not a jersey. Yeah. But then I saw. I said myself that, you know, Liverpool is struggling. Maybe it's a better time to, you know, give some support and then.
Yeah. Well jersey. Done. Oh, and they might get a Dutch coach, by the way.
That'd I heard about that.
Yeah.
Another.
Let's see.
Dutch coach in the Premier League.
So I think United might get rid of theirs, but maybe Liverpool is bringing back someone else. But
yeah.
Should be a good signing, I think. But let's see. It will be difficult to be the successor of Klopp, of course. So
Are you familiar with the manager? I assume.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, he's coaching Feyenoord, Rotterdam, who in the last 10 years or more, they had a few good seasons, but normally they struggle against especially Ajax or PSV. But last year they won the championship with really good football, and it's mostly thanks to the coach, really, really good coach. So I think he can fit well to Liverpool. But something that someone else pointed out on Twitter is that it's not just Klopp who's leaving, but basically his whole support team is leaving.
Mm-hmm.
I think the guy on Twitter was saying it's something like 30 people. I'm not sure if that's true. It sounds like a lot, but that just, you know, even if it's less, even if it's 10 or 15 people or whatever, you know, I think it's just kind of shows what kind of a big challenge there is, right? It's basically, it's not just Klopp leaving, but it's something that they build up for the last couple of years, and they now need to, of course, try to rebuild. So yeah, a big challenge there. Yeah. But let's see. It's a big club. I'm sure they will do well. But that's something we can talk more about, you know, when we're in the summer season and preparing for next season. For now, though, we're still focusing, of course, on this season. As we mentioned, game week 35 is coming up, just 4 game weeks left. And for today, this was it. This was FPL Optimized Podcast, episode number 90. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with another episode next week. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you'll get notified when the next episode is out. And if you enjoy our content, you can make us really happy by leaving a positive review. You can follow us on X for SirTop. It's at SirTop Bilal. And for me, it's at BelfieBB. And we also have a separate account for the pod, which is at FPL Optimized. And you can also find us on YouTube.
And until next time, stay curious and stay analytical. Goodbye.
Goodbye.